Reading this morning is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, and we are commencing at verse 1. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over the course of 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel? He replied, It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him from their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up towards heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come in the same way you saw him go into heaven. A reading from John, chapter 17, commencing at verse 6. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you, for the words that you gave me I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and all yours are mine. And I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost, except the one who was destined to be lost, so that Scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they do not belong in this world, just as I do not belong in the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong in the world, just as I do not belong in the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they may be sanctified in truth. The word of the Lord.
Let us pray. Lord, open our ears to hear your word and our mouths to sing your praises. Amen. So we've been on quite the journey. We've been on 40 days. A 40-day journey in the church's year. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? 40 years in the wilderness, 40 days of Lent, 40 days of temptation. Now we've had 40 days of celebrating the risen Christ. Actually, we continue to celebrate the risen Christ, but having this particular function, this particular focus on what it all means. So I thought I'd give us a bit of a review of where we've been. Thanks. Next slide, please. So we started with the devastation of Good Friday, the farewell to Jesus at the tomb. We have the confusion of, can this really be amidst the joy of Easter Sunday? We have the stories of Jesus appearing and reappearing to his disciples, and you see that referred to again in the passage we have from Acts, going, there's just too many of these stories. We're not going to try to tell you them all. And now we have this narrative of Jesus being taken bodily up to heaven. So what is going on here, and what does that mean for us? Next slide, please. Well, we also had the journey of the coming understanding. When Jesus walked with those two disciples on the road to Emmaus, what was Jesus doing? Jesus was explaining to them how the cross was more than an event of personal devastation for them, but in fact was part of God's plan, was part of God's work of reconciling all people to God's self. Spent a few weeks on that because that message takes a little while to get through, doesn't it? But then we've had the last few weeks looking back and seeing how some of the great images of Israel have been applied to God acting through Jesus Christ. Jesus saying, I am the good shepherd. And us realizing that we have the best of both worlds of care. We have a love that is so great for us that Jesus was willing to lay down his life for us. Yet we also have that same level of self-giving love given to us each and every day by the risen Christ. We find ourselves with Jesus fulfilling all the best of Anzac Day and remembering those who were willing to put absolutely everything on the line out of love for their friends and their country. But we also have here Jesus showing all the best each and every day of mothers who put the benefit of their children. Now, I don't think any mother could live up to the example of Jesus Christ, just as no dad could, no person can. We all fall down under that high bar. But we see aspects of that in our lives. So we have Jesus as this good shepherd, showing God's love and being God's love for us. Then we approached, and we've got the little display up there of the vine, of Jesus saying, we are the connection to the life of God we need comes through our abiding in Christ. That when we are connected with Jesus Christ, we find life. But most of all, we become fruitful, not through our own efforts, not through our own worthiness or talents, but through our connection with God's life and God's fruitfulness. But then we have the sting in the tail of that going, God is the gardener, because the vine doesn't always get what the vine wants. A vine that is cared for is trimmed and is changed to be optimized so that the fruit it makes are healthy and sweet. Don't always get what we want. And if you want a bigger example of that than Easter Sunday, then Good Friday, I don't think I could give it to you. Next slide. God's part of that. I'm sure over 40 days the disciples got very used to Jesus appearing in their midst. It would have been comforting. It would have been exciting. And I'm sure if they were anything like us or me, that they would be trying to work out what they had to do to make the absolute best chance of that happening next time they met. It was so precious and so special. But Jesus went up to heaven. Yes, in many ways we're celebrating today that truth. We're celebrating the final symbol of Jesus' victory. This storyline that starts with a tiny infant born in a stable in a third-rate town in a third-rate country. Through 30 years of ministry, through all the ups and downs, through all the drama of Holy Week and Good Friday, and the wonder of the resurrection, ends with Jesus rising into heaven. Why does it end like this? In some ways, it's a big tick. Yes, it was all right. You've done your job. Come home. You've been through death once. You don't have to do it a second time. But on the other hand, I think there's that temptation. That temptation for us to look inwardly and to look to do what if our church has to be centered around Jesus Christ. Our church is centered around Jesus Christ. But if all we do is look for that, Are we producing fruit? We've been sent out into the world, and we have that lovely prayer from John. That's from Jesus' farewell discourse, where Jesus sends the disciples into the world. Now, some of you might have seen me on my phone, but it was actually looking up something. From the basis of union, my friend Lynn quoted the basis of union in Journeying Together, so I'll lift my game. The United Church acknowledges that the church is able to live and endure through the changes of history only because its Lord comes, addresses, and deals with people in and through the news of his completed work. Christ, who is present when he's preached among people, is the Word of God, who acquits the guilty, who gives life to the dead, and who brings into being that which otherwise could not exist. Through human witness in word and action, in the power of the Holy Spirit, Christ reaches out to command people's attention and awaken faith. He calls people into the fellowship of his sufferings to be the disciples of a crucified Lord. In his own strange way, Christ constitutes, rules, and renews them as church. Christ has a physical form on this world. Isn't that scary? Look around. See the hands and feet, the loving heart of Jesus Christ for this world. Big challenge, isn't it? So we come and we gather and we make sure our roots are strong. But we don't have the physical presence anymore, because that'd just be a distraction. We've got to get on with it. I don't know if I've told you the story of one day, a long time ago, and it's mythical, doesn't mean it's not true, but one time there was a monastery, and the abbot was pulling his hair out because everyone was sniping at each other. And actually, if you read the rules for monasteries, and if you go to, I went to New Norcia a couple of times, you get to read some of their rules, and a whole heap of their rules are about avoiding grumbling. We don't have grumbling in Christian communities, do we? All these things, all these pragmatic things, this is not ideal, but do it because it avoids grumbling. Let them do it. But there was grumbling and there was complaining and there was a whole heap of things that weren't right. So the abbot writes off to the head of his order and he goes, I'm going to send you one of the other abbots to come have a chat with you. I think he can help you. And the abbot turned up. And he sat, and he didn't say much for a few days. He just listened and he watched, and of course everyone who was aggrieved came up to him and let him know exactly what was going on and why the other people were all the problem. And then finally he got to speak to them all at one of their dinners, and he said, I have a vision. I've had a vision that Jesus Christ himself is going to walk among you. Not going to say who he is, but you will have the opportunity to serve and learn from Jesus Christ. And the abbot wrote back a few weeks later, to the head of his order and said, "You cannot believe the difference, because everyone treated everyone else as if they were Jesus." We have the opportunity to serve and be served by Jesus Christ in the way we live with others as Jesus' disciples. "By this will all people know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." So Jesus walks among us. Jesus lives among us today. Bit scary, I know. I don't live up to it all the time. But we pray that in our own ways, in our own walks, we may witness to and be witness to the love and grace of Jesus Christ each and every day. Amen. So we come with our prayer of confession. Actually, I didn't even get to the punchline, you know, the